You can turn to Job chapter 21. Job 21. And we can start reading verse 1. This is Job. Obviously, we know what has happened with him. Job has suffered so much, and his friends, they come and they sit with him for 7 days and they don't say a word. And they should have kept it that way, but they actually started talking. And their comfort or their way of reasoning with him, they said a lot of things that may be true generally, but they did not know what they were talking about in this case, for sure. And they said a lot of the same things and they repeated themselves. Their story, their conclusion was, Job, you're wicked. You've done something wrong. You haven't been good to the poor. You've withheld from the widow when she was in need. You've done something wrong. You've obviously been wicked, and you're receiving what you deserve. And so Job talks about it this way. It says, Job answered and said, "Hear diligently my speech, and let this be your consolation. Suffer me that I may speak, and after that I have spoken, mock on. As for me, is my complaint to man? And if it were so, why should not my spirit be troubled? Mark me, and be astonished, and lay your hand upon your mouth. Even when I remember, I am afraid, and trembling taketh hold on my flesh." Let's go ahead and pray. Brent, would you please pray for us this morning?
Father in heaven, we do thank you for the opportunity to meet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. We thank you for these that have come and testified that they've been saved and are ready to be baptized. We pray you bless them and their families and their lives going forward. Bless Brother Stephen as he preaches now. In Jesus' name.
Amen. So Job's friends in this case, they were wrong. And I think we should all beware of being too quick to judge things, because we don't know all the facts. We don't know everything. And they were judging Job very harshly, and yet they didn't know the situation that Job was going through. This was something very, very special that Job was being put through, and it wasn't what it appeared to be, at least not for them. And they didn't know this, but they were judging him. And sometimes it's best to just sit down and comfort somebody by being there for them.
Amen.
And just comforting them. Sometimes we try to reason things out whenever maybe we can't help in all those ways. But their reasoning was, the wicked is always faced with misfortune, and the righteous will always prosper. And that sounds really good, right? That sounds really good. They're saying, hey, Job, listen, this is simple. You just look out and see if somebody is prospering, if they're increased with goods, then it means they're righteous, right? And they have God's favor. But if you look out and a person is not righteous, if he's wicked, then his prosperity is going to be short. God is going to quickly bring him down. And so this was their reasoning. It's very simple. You just look out, and if somebody's not prospering, it's because God quickly judges those that are wicked. And so Job is looking around and he's saying, well, I know it sounds good, but he's saying, I don't see it always happen that way. Where is the wicked always being punished quickly? Job is thinking, it's not what I see all the time. And so he gets into his argument, and that's where we pick up on verse 7. Job shows what he's observed. And he says in verse 7, "Wherefore do the wicked live? They become old, yea, are mighty in power. Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth and faileth not, their cow calveth and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp, and they rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. He says, you know, we see that it's not always so. Y'all are saying these things, but it's not always so. The wicked don't always just get judged quickly. How is it that we can see that there's wicked that are gaining power and they're always rejoicing? They have their family, they have health, their crops are going well. He's saying we don't always see that the wicked are judged quickly. How is it? Don't we see? And he says they spend their days in wealth and in a moment they go down to the grave. A lot of people, he says, that are wicked will live an entire life and they'll live in wealth and then they just die. They don't suffer. They're not being judged quickly as far as we can tell. We don't see this happening. And so his reasoning is it's not always that way. It doesn't always present itself that way. And what he's saying is true. Job has observed something that's real. We see it also, right? There's people that actually do wrong and they live wickedly and they prosper. That happens all the time. And, you don't have to be righteous to see this. Even wicked people can see this. Even wicked people can tell wicked people are prospering. You can tell when somebody else does you wrong and they get away with it, right? Even if you're wicked, even if you do something wrong, cheaters will recognize other cheaters. And they'll be mad because they're winning. It's just it's a noticeable thing. People that are wicked can prosper and it seems like nothing is going wrong with how they're living. And so he's saying this doesn't make sense. For example, Joseph Stalin. You know, Joseph Stalin was a wicked man. He caused a lot of harm and he killed a lot of people. But it seems like he was just prospering. It seems like he lived a life where, I mean, he was the head. He had power, right? Like he said, wherefore do the wicked live, become old, and are mighty in power? There's people that have done this. And we wonder, well, how can that be? I mean, Stalin's own daughter called him a moral and spiritual monster. So how can it be that he was not cut off immediately? How can it be that the wicked grow and prosper? This is Job's argument. He's wondering how that happens. He doesn't see what they're saying to be so all the time. And so you have to think about this, and it's true, this is real, that people are doing wrong, and people are wicked, and they're not receiving a quick, swift judgment for it. Right. They're getting away with it, so it would seem. And we see it. And you don't have to be perfectly righteous to see this. Wicked people can see other people's wickedness, and we see it all the time. In fact, it's strange and it's amazing how it's easy to see other people's sins and other people's wickedness, and we just kind of somehow overlook our own. Oh, we can tell. We can tell when somebody else is doing horribly wrong, but we can't see the sin that we're committing ourselves. It's so easy to do. In fact, in jail, you'll see that these men that have raped women and they're in jail because of rape will kill pedophiles because they hate that sin. They can see those pedophiles and it makes them angry and they will actually go to great lengths to beat them and kill them because they can see that wickedness. But they're wicked too and they're in there, but they like have closed eyes on their own wickedness. But that goes for all of us. We all have something and we see, right? The adulterers are able to be disgusted by the homosexuals. It happens all the time. You can't see your own sin, but you're looking out and you're seeing everybody else's. You're a liar and a thief, but you just look down on murderers. And it just happens all the time. It's so easy to look at other people's sins, but ignore the sin that's in your own life.
Amen.
And this is a dangerous position to be in.
Amen.
When you're in a position where you are wicked and you're doing wrong and you're living against God and yet you're not being punished right away, you get to thinking everything's okay. Everything's fine. Right? This is a dangerous position to be in. because the point is, you are wicked, and you're not okay. Not everything is okay. But we have what we see in Jeremiah, people calling out and saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And this is a false comfort that we see in a person's life. When judgment doesn't come swiftly upon them, they think everything is okay. And Job points it out that this is real. There's people that are living wickedly, and yet they're prospering, and they seem to have everything going their way. And that's a dangerous position to be in. This is a dangerous way of thinking, and it's an infectious one. The Bible actually warns us not to become envious of evildoers. You can read in Psalms, Proverbs 24 says, "Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief." Proverbs 23:17 says, "Let not thine heart envy sinners." See, there's a real thing where sinners can actually be prosperous, and you can start thinking, well, then, you know, why don't I do the same thing? And it's a dangerous place to be whenever you're living in sin and you're living in wickedness, and yet you're prospering, because it makes you think you're okay, that you're fine, that you don't need God. And this is what he notices in verse 14. He's saying, these people are wicked, and yet they're prospering. But look at what they do in verse 14. It says, "Therefore they say unto God, Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him?" See what the point they get to is, they're living in a wicked way. They know it. Everybody else knows it. We know it. Listen, you cannot be so ignorant of your own sin, especially if it's brought out by the Bible and somebody confronts you with it. You're living in sin. Yes, listen, lying is a sin, and it is enough to get you and separate you from God. Living in homosexuality, living in fornication, living in adultery, all this is sin. You need to know it. But what happens whenever we're living in sin and yet we live a comfortable life? Because we just don't seem to have all that many problems. And unfortunately, I think this is what most Americans are experiencing today. Amen. You see, we're full of sin. Every single one of us. You have so much sin in your life. It has kept you from God. It is separating you from God. God is not in favor of what you are doing. And yet, you're prosperous. You live, you have enough to eat, you have a place to sleep, you have enough food, you maybe have family, you even have health, and if you're sick, you can go to the doctor, and it just seems like life is pretty comfortable, and you might think, well, we must be doing okay, we must be fine, when you're not fine.
Right.
And it makes you think that you're okay, and in fact, it makes you think, well, why do I even need God? He says that they start saying, because of the way that they're living, and because they have all the prosperity that they need, they say, "God, depart from us. We don't need you." Seems like we get to that point where we have so much, and God has provided for us, and we have so much that now we feel like we don't need God anymore, and we turn our back and say, "God, we don't need you. We don't want you." He says, "We desire not the knowledge of thy ways." We don't want to know what you want. We don't care about what you say. Now this is a dangerous position to be in, and yet it can infect us. We can all get to the point where we think we're fine. It's okay. We don't need to know anymore. We don't need to know what God says. We don't want to know what God says. And it's all because things are working out for us. Isn't that strange? You know, sometimes a strike of tragedy is probably the best thing that can happen to you. Isn't that strange? Because while you're living fine and everything's going your way, you don't care about God. You do what He says here. You desire God to just depart from you. You don't care about what God says. You don't care if God's close to you. You don't see the need for prayer. You don't see the need to get close to God. You're fine without Him. But then, whenever tragedy comes, all of a sudden, you go looking for God.
Right.
So sometimes tragedy might just be the best thing for a person. And this happens all the time. Without it, you don't see God. It's strange, right? What does God have to do to draw you closer to Him? If God gives you prosperity, if He lets you abound, if He gives you health, if He makes you feel good, if He gives you wealth, He gives you a good job, and you have everything going for you, you ignore Him. You don't care about Him. You don't look for Him. You don't need Him. So He sends misery, He sends some problems, He sends you some health problems, He sends you some maybe death and other things that might affect your life, and then you blame Him for it. And you say, He's the problem for all these things, and you think He's an evil God because of it. It's like there's no fixing the problem. He's trying to get your attention, but nothing is helping. And it's a strange thing whenever, despite our wicked life, despite the way we live in sin and against God, we continue to prosper. Because it gets things to be confusing. And it does confuse things. And this is the problem. This is what's going on in this whole thing, is that they're all confused. Job is confused because it's just confusing. What's going on? Shouldn't we expect that those that are doing wrong be judged swiftly and get what they deserve? Don't we believe in justice, right? Isn't justice going to happen to those that are living wickedly? And so whenever it's not happening, there's confusion. And this is why there's some confusion in Job's life and with Job's friends. Because the wicked are prospering. The wicked are continuing to live in power and in health and in wealth. And they say, God, depart from us. They don't need Him. Where is the Almighty that we should serve Him? What profit should we have if we pray unto Him? Now he makes a statement in verse 16. He says, lo, their good is not in their hand. And so just for, so that everybody knows, what he's saying here is, listen, your prosperity, your wealth, your health, and everything you have isn't because of you. Isn't because of how good you are and how hard working you are, and because you're so smart and because you've got it all down. It's not if you within your power to that you have everything that you have.
Right.
It is God that has provided for you.
Amen.
And boy, we all need to know this. Listen, you have benefited from so many things that's not just your power that's gotten you what you have.
Yes.
You owe a lot to your ancestors who have passed down things that have enabled you to get what you have.
Right.
But we start thinking, oh, it's our power we have, and we think we don't need God, but that's all a false sense of security.
Amen.
Lo, their good is not in their hand. Your prosperity isn't in your own hand. It comes from God. And the danger is when you have it, you don't think you need God. And so you're fine with keeping away from God, staying away from God. So what I hope this message does is it serves as a warning that just because you live in pleasure and prosperity, you live in health, that doesn't mean that you're right with God.
Right.
And this goes for somebody that's Christian and non-Christian alike. Listen, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer in God, if you've lived this way, you think, I don't need God, why do I need God? You better not be mistaking that you have all the wealth, you have all the good things, you're fine, you're living good. Don't confuse that with thinking that you have the favor of God. Just because everything's working out, everything's going your way, don't confuse that with the favor of God.
Amen.
Because that does not mean you are in a good standing with God. God says that if you are in sin, then you're His enemy.
Yeah.
And that's not a good place to be.
Amen.
And so you can get confused. But same thing with Christians. Christians can walk around thinking, oh, well, we're blessed, so that must mean God is approving of the way we live. And so Christians can just keep getting in more and more sin, thinking that it's okay because God has allowed us to continue prospering and blesses us. And we can continue diving deeper into wicked sin, thinking that God is on our side, but God is not on our side. God does not like sin.
Right, amen.
So Job does say something in verse 30. And Job obviously, listen, Job doesn't know everything. He's kind of confused. He doesn't have a full grasp on the big picture. We are so blessed to be in these days where we have received the words of Jesus Christ and we have the word of the apostles, where we know the teaching, we know the truth, we know all the everything, we know the end, we know what's coming.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Job says something. He says in verse 30 that the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction. They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. Listen, in the end, the truth is everybody's going to die. The wicked, the righteous, those, everybody is going to die in the end. But guess what? The Bible actually states that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. There is no escaping it. There is no escaping it. The wicked will get the recompense that they deserve. Justice will come. If there is no judgment after death, then where is justice?
Right.
Then the matter and the whole, all this argument, all this talk and everything we see does not make sense. It really doesn't. What, how can it make sense if the wicked are living in pleasures and the wicked just die and they don't have no problems? Then it doesn't make sense. But when we know that there's a judgment and God is going to hold every single person accountable for their sin, then it makes sense. There is going to be justice. And that is why we cannot live with this false sense of security, thinking that the way that we see we're being blessed means we are being approved by God with our lifestyle. Your sin will be judged one day. That is a guarantee. There is no exception. And that is what we must understand. And that's what Job knew. He knew it was going to be so. Now the confusing part to him, it's not swift, it's not right away, why doesn't it happen? But surely it is going to happen. One day you are going to stand in front of God and He is going to judge every work that you've done.
Amen.
And it's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of God. It's a terrible thing to be judged by God for your sin.
Amen.
Now, the thing about it, you go to 2 Peter, and 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter tells us some things that I think complement this very well. Because what happens whenever we live in a place, we have a life that is prosperous. We have a life that we don't have so much concern. Really, the truth is, America is blessed in that sense where we have so much abundance. We don't suffer like we think we suffer. Because our mind tells us we suffer, but we really don't suffer like we think we are suffering. We have it good. We have it really good. And so what happens when we have it good and we feel good and things are going our way, we think, where is God? There is no God. Why should we serve Him? All these things that were posed right here before us in Job, this is what happens. We get relaxed thinking that everything is okay. And religion will make us think that everything's okay, and all that's around us gives us these signals and these signs that everything's okay. But we don't want to confuse the matter. God will bring judgment. And this is what 2 Peter chapter 3 is about, he is describing how God is going to bring judgment upon the world. He is going to bring judgment. Look at what it says in verse 7. He says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Mark it down, he's saying. It's going to come. Judgment will come. It is going to happen. He is going to judge, and it's a day of judgment and fire. It's coming. Now, verse 8 says, "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." The Lord is not restricted to our time constraint. And so we see things and we're expecting one thing, and Job is blown away thinking, how can it be? How can they live so long? How can they not receive justice quickly? Well, God doesn't see things exactly how you and I see them. He is outside of time, and so we don't restrict him to our time constraint. But he makes it clear in verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, this is why people get their false sense of security, because God has not executed judgment yet. Because we say, God is coming, God is coming, judgment will come, judgment is going to happen, and yet, we don't see it. And so we think, well, I guess there isn't a God. Well, I guess God wasn't really being serious. And we give all these excuses, and so we think, well, see, everything's well, everything's good, and the wicked live in peace, and the wicked are prospering, and so it can't be that bad. But we're confusing what he says is long suffering of God. God is simply hasn't struck down lightning upon you. God simply hasn't brought judgment upon you yet, because he is long suffering. He is patient.
Amen.
Because he is not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want to have to condemn you. He doesn't want to have to destroy you. That's not his inner desire to execute this judgment upon you and see you condemned. So he's waiting. He's waiting and giving you space, because he wants to see something. What does he say he wants to see? That all should come to repentance. He's doing everything. He's doing everything he can so that you can wake up and repent of your sin.
Amen.
And like we said, if he lets everything go your way and you have everything nice, you don't go to him. You're not drawn to him. And if he sends you some problems and difficulties, you blame him. And he's just trying to catch your attention so that you can wake up to the reality of your sin, your wickedness, and his judgment, so that you can repent of
Amen.
It.
Amen.
And he's giving you this space to repent. And yet, we just want to sit down and think, everything's okay. It must be okay, because look how well I'm doing. Don't be confused.
Amen.
God, the reason he has not executed judgment on you yet is because he's long-suffering. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10 clarifies it. He says, "But the day of the Lord will come." There's no doubt about it. Don't get confused. Don't get comfortable in your sin thinking that you're fine and that there's no problem and that there's no urgency. Don't just sit back and be complacent. Listen, it will come. It will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Listen, don't get comfortable in your sin thinking, well, see, it's all okay, I'm fine. Don't become what Job sees in Job 21, how he sees that the wicked are increased with power and they're living their life and they're living it up. They're having their songs and dances, and they're joyful, and they're eating and drinking and giving in marriage. Don't let that distract you from the important need that you have to get right with God. Because one day it will come. And he says here that it's going to come. It's going to catch them all off guard. It's going to come as a thief in the night. They're not expecting it. The wicked are not expecting it. But it's going to come. When you maybe least expect it, Jesus is going to come back. There is going to be judgment. And there's going to be judgment on all the earth. And there's going to be judgment on you and your sin.
Amen.
And your wickedness towards God. So judgment is real, but it's being held off. And if you haven't received judgment yet, it's because God is long-suffering towards you. It's not because He is in favor of the way you're living. It's not because He approves of what you're doing. It's because He does not want to see you condemned in your sin. And He's given you a space to repent. He's given you a time so that you can recognize your sin and humble yourself and believe in Jesus Christ so that you can have forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
Because see, we all are going to be judged by God. But you can be in Jesus Christ and you can be justified through Him. You can be justified before God. You can have His righteousness covering you. And you can be forgiven of all your sins because Jesus Christ died for this purpose.
Amen.
And that's the only way to escape this judgment. And that's why it's so important to consider our life, not just by what we see and how healthy and wealthy we may be, but to actually seek God through His Word and consider what He has promised. He has promised to come back and judge. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for the judgment that God is going to bring? And so if you're wicked and you're prospering, don't let that confuse the real issue. You are not right with God. You need forgiveness of sins. You need to put your trust on Jesus Christ. And that is our message about Jesus. That is what we preach. Jesus Christ, the only Savior.
Amen.
And the only way that you can have forgiveness of sins is through Him and His work. So we're gonna end this portion of the meeting because we're gonna go out these doors right here and we're gonna meet up at the baptismal and then we're gonna have a baptism.
Amen.
So the meeting isn't over until we conclude with that. So let's go ahead and go do that at this moment.
Amen.
From this message? What did you think about the other thing? Como tú quieras. ¿Qué piensas? Qué peligroso. No, no problem. We're going to run each other over. Amen. Here, Señor.